Today we're going to continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. In other words, verses that stand out. Now, we've been in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to continue there today. As we begin in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1, and this is what the Word of God has to say. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, in loving favor rather than silver and gold. What I want us to see about this verse is what's telling us that consequently, most rich people do not have good names. They have names for being greedy and often ruthless in their climb to the top. And of course, there are exceptions, however. Now, in Proverbs 22, let's look at verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6, where the Word of God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So what we want to see here in this verse is children are to be trained, not merely raised. We have the first 18 to 20 years of their lives to train them, amen, for the next 50 to 60 years. Proverbs 22, in verses 17 to 21, we read this. Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. Now, what I want us to see about this passage is anyone attempting to learn the Bible should be very familiar with this passage as it reveals the heart of God in the Bible study. It's all about ministering to others. Amen. Again, in Proverbs 22, verse 28, the Word of God says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now, this is a good companion verse for Jeremiah 6, verse 16. A verse that speaks of cherishing the old way instead of forsaking it for the new. The landmarks can be things like the King James Bible, the U.S. Constitution, membership in a good Bible-believing church, old hymns of the faith, and we could go on and on, amen? Now let's turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 with me. In verse number 13, the Word of God has this to say. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with rod, he shall not die. So here we see is spanking disobedient children is scriptural and needful, amen, regardless of what the political correctness crowd has to say. Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12, we read this. If thou forbid to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he render every man according to his works? Well, what I want to say about these two verses is this. If that doesn't exhort you to witness, amen, probably nothing will. Amen. Because God sees. Amen. We have what other people need. And if we hold it back and do not present the gospel and try to lead someone to the Lord, amen, the God sees it. He knows you have what people need. Amen. And if you hold it back, he sees it. Amen. And he shall render to every man according to his works. Amen. We're not saved by good works, but after being saved, we should be zealous of good works, should we not? Now look at in Proverbs 25, verse 19, the Word of God says this: confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. What I want you to see here is this. If you have to trust a man, make sure he is a faithful one. You'll be very disappointed if he isn't, in spite of his talents and charms. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs 27, verse 1. The Word of God has this to say: boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21, offers a prime example of a man who ignores the verse. So we want to turn over to Luke chapter 12 at this time with me. And in Luke 12, as I said, we want to look at verses 16 to 21. And here we have a prime example of a man who ignores what it says here in Proverbs 27, verse 1. The Word of God has this to say in Luke 12, verse 16 to 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be, which thou hast provided? So it is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Amen. Again, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's exactly what this rich man did. He boasted himself of tomorrow. See? But God had a different plan for him. See also with me, James, the book of James with me, chapter 4. When we get to James chapter 4, I want us to look at verses 13 to 15. We read this. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Amen. Life is like a vapor. Like when you breathe your breath on a cold winter's morning and you see that vapor, amen. It's there and then it disappears. That's how our life is. It's very short compared to eternity that awaits us, amen. So we got to be careful about thinking about, oh, we're going to do this tomorrow and do that tomorrow. But we ought to say, and it's true, we'll do that if the Lord wills. If he doesn't, then we won't. Amen. All righty, let's turn to Proverbs 28:1 as we're continuing looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Chapter 28 of Proverbs, verse number 1, the wicked flee. When no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So we see that boldness is a characteristic, amen, of a righteous man. So this doesn't mean that he is rude or proud, but it does mean that he has confidence in his biblical convictions and isn't afraid to defend them. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What we want to see is this. One prospers when he goes by the book. Amen. Not when he covers his sins. Let's return to Joshua chapter 1 for a moment and notice what it says in Joshua chapter 1 in verses 8 and 9. Joshua 1 verses 8 and 9, notice it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. So one prospers, amen, when he goes by the book, the Holy Bible, the words of Almighty God as preserved in the King James Bible. Let's turn to Proverbs 29, verse 1. He then being often reproved, harden his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, this verse here is a good memory verse on a man being stubborn and set in his way when God is trying to change his life. See, God always wins, does he not, one way or another. Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So, what I want us to see here is this. Contrary to what the world would have us think, people don't mourn when righteous people rule, because righteous people are not the oppressors. The wicked are, amen. Righteous people believe in liberty, live and let live, not enforcing people to live a certain way. Many unsaved people have a persecution complex that is rooted in their own ideas of how they would like to force their own beliefs on others if they had the chance. So they assume that the righteous think the same way. No. When the righteous are in authority, people rejoice, because a righteous leader does what is right. Amen and amen to that. Proverbs 29, verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. You see, my friends, flattery has no place in the Christian's life because it contains elements of dishonesty and bribery. I always also want us to look at Job 32, Job chapter 32. In Job chapter 32, I want us to look in particular at verses 21 to 22. And the word of God has this to say. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles, and so doing my Maker would soon take me away. So we shouldn't flattery, we see, has no place in the Christian's life because it contains the elements of dishonesty and bribery. Proverbs 29, verse 17. We read, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So here's a good verse on child correction. There's many of them in Proverbs. Amen. It's biblical to correct your children. Amen. To discipline them. And to sometimes, when it's appropriate, to administer corporal punishment, not out of anger, amen, but out of love, to train them, to discipline them, just like when we get out of hand, the Lord disciplines us. And when the Lord disciplines you and I, what does it show up? It shows that we belong to Him, and He loves us, see, and He wants us to do right and get right, the same way with an earthly father. He corrects his children because he loves them, and he wants them to do right and live right and get right in the sight of Almighty God. Now, look at Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So, this verse explains why nations, churches, and families fall apart. No vision. No vision means no purpose or plan. It is when glorifying God is our purpose that we enjoy prosperity. Amen to that. Proverbs. We're in Proverbs. Let's turn our attention to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, let's turn there, and let's look at verses 1 through 7. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor their ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Here we have one of the great Bible passages on strong drink. Apart from medicinal purposes, it is to be abstained from since it weakens one's discernment and memory. Also, we've looked at it in previous lessons, but remember also along with this passage what it says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Now, of course, in chapter 31 here of Proverbs, in verses 10 to 31, we have the virtuous woman. And what I want to say about this passage here is this. Every Christian lady should have this passage marked in her Bible, and she should use it as a guide and goal for her life, not for just praising her mother or grandmother on Mother's Day. Amen. All right, so we've gone through some noteworthy verses in the book of Proverbs. Now we're going to change and continue into the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 7. The word of God says this, all the rivers run into the sea. Yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. So the Bible had the evaporation and condensation cycle right long before most men. The oceans evaporate and form clouds, which move over the land and drop water, which runs into the river and then back in to the oceans. Now let's look at, again, Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, verses 9 and 10. The Word of God has this to say, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us." So we say then, there's nothing new under the sun. In history repeats itself. We have it right here in the Bible. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. And the Word of God has this to say, "And I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever, and nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him." So when God saves a sinner, it's forever. And when God damns a sinner, it's forever. Amen. According to the Word of God here. Alrighty, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in verses 1 through 5, we read this: "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay." This is a great Old Testament companion passage for James 1:19. One should do far more hearing than speaking. Amen. But let's see what it says in the book of James, as we see in James chapter 1 and verse number 19 with me. In James 1, chapter 1, verse 19, it says this in the Word of God: "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear," here it is, "slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Amen. So we need to be listeners more than talkers. Amen. Listening is a gift. We need to listen more. We need to hear all the facts and everything before we open our mouths. Amen. See, we speak too much, but we must be swift to hear, slow to speak. Amen. Alrighty, we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18. The Word of God says this: "It is good that thou shouldst take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." So this verse stands out because it tells us it's not that hard to predict winners and losers in life. The winners and achievers are those who fear God, amen? And the losers are those who lean to their own understanding. Just watch things over the long haul, and it becomes very obvious. At 40 years of age, the winner will usually have the same wife that he started with. Discipline children, amen, a good church family, a decent job, and a joyful spirit of contentment. Now, the loser will be a chronic complainer on his second or third marriage with bratty stepkids while trying to butter up the boss for a raise so he can finance the new boat or the new truck that he thinks will give him happiness. Now, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. For is there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, this is a good companion verse to go with Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. Now, Romans 3:10 says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Everyone is a sinner. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. Everyone needs a Savior. Everyone needs Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ crucified, his death, burial, and resurrection, belief in that of that alone to save them. Amen. Because we're all lost. We're all condemned. All our way to a sinner's hell. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 with me in verse number 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doth thou? Well, the word of a king is obviously found between the covers of a King James Bible, which has more power than all the other perversions combined. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them that do evil. The idea is that of a speedy trial and a speedy punishment. If every killer in America knew beforehand, if caught, he would be convicted and hung before the end of the month, the murder rate would be cut in half before the end of the week. And also with the Christian, amen. Sometimes he thinks that it's okay with God if he sinned against God because God doesn't execute his judgment speedily, but he will. He gives us that opportunity to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of our sin and get right. Amen. So we don't get away with anything. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So what our verse tells us and what stands out is this, anything worth doing is worth doing with passion. There's no place for half-heartedness in the life of a Christian. Amen? Okay, so we're going to stop there. And I hope you'll continue to join me next time when we continue our journey and look at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.